tell us your experience and what you would bring to the position of mayor.
Sure. Well, I think for me, it's been just a huge honor and pleasure to serve the citizens of Dayton as city commissioner and their city commissioner for the past 8 years. Really, I decided to run for mayor because I thought we needed someone that was full-time and had the energy to really rally around job creation. And so to that effect, I announced running for mayor, believe it or not, December 4th of 2013 or 2012. So, on January 31st, I announced a jobs plan because I knew it was going to be super key for job creation and what we really needed to do to create jobs in Dayton and then also in the Dayton region. So that was the real key for me in running. I'm really proud of the roadmap for a new Dayton that we have on our website at nanwhaley.com that centers around jobs, neighborhoods, and being an open and vibrant community. And so those 3 points are really important, I think, to the growth of Dayton. And I think also significant about it is all city commissioners support that effort.
So that led into my next question. What were the biggest issues that you think Dayton faces? And so I imagine those would be the top hits.
Right. Jobs is obviously key. We've just come out of the greatest recession since the Great Depression. I like to tell folks the only person I know that had been through both is my 90-year-old neighbor. So for most Americans and definitely most Daytonians, it's the toughest economic scene that we've seen. We've come through that in the city of Dayton, being really financially sound and upgrading our bond rating. During that time, most cities our size and in the Midwest, they saw the other direction. I think that shows how we make tough decisions. And then we've also been named by, Economic Development Engines as the number one site for a mid-sized city to place your business here. And I think that says a lot that, they know that we make tough decisions in the city, but we know what the priorities are too.
With the number of jobs and housing numbers dropping within the city, let's talk a little bit more about the roadmap and how you would reverse those trends.
Sure. So the roadmap is around an 11-page document, and the first part is the jobs plan, where we really work on, I think the key is we have great assets in the city of Dayton, and we use those assets and leverage them to create jobs. So, for example, just today, I started a manufacturing task force on the city commission. We just had a national speaker from American Alliance for Manufacturing come in, along with John Leland from the University of Dayton Research Institute and Alan Schaefer, who is a local manufacturer, talking about how we are positioned very well in this community to create jobs off manufacturing. We need to leverage that and build off our assets, which is a great asset. And that's one of them in the plan. From, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to our water resource, Dayton International Airport, all of these downtown, all of these are great resources for us that we can leverage and create jobs off of.
Housing numbers came out. They're down for the city core. They're up for the suburbs. So how do you strengthen the city core while still promoting growth within the outlying communities?
Sure. One of the things that have happened over the past 40 years is we see this, the population of the region stay the same, but us as a region take over twice as much space. And so it's not surprising that we're seeing housing numbers that are different and some struggles in our neighborhoods. And so when I started as city commissioner, we were tearing down only around 50 properties a year. And this year, more than any other time in the city, we've torn down over 500. I think that does a couple of things. Number one, it stabilizes housing values across the city. It makes it safer for the neighbor. If you're a neighbor living next to a vacant that is in really real disrepair and no hope of having being economically viable, you want that down, and because it makes you safer, and it does. We've seen fires go down. We've seen, our crime numbers go down because of that. And then finally, we also need to rehab, and we've been working on rehabbing properties that do have value, and that's been pretty great. We're seeing a trend when we started the program where most people, for example, in expedited foreclosure, were taking the vacant properties and the vacant lots, and now we're seeing them actually take houses and wanting to redo them. And 95% of the people doing that are people in the city of Dayton. So I think it says a lot that our citizens recognize there's value and there's opportunity coming to our community. We just need to help that along and encourage that and incent that more.
Can you quantify how much is left to do with that? I know we have another round of funding sources coming just for that purpose. So can you assess what's coming our way in the next 5, 10 years?
Sure. So we this year, we were really lucky to have the help with the Attorney General's office with the Move Ohio Forward funding that, was a match program. The state would provide money and then the city of Dayton would match it. And so that's why we've had the more than any time in the history this year. And next year, we'll see the hardest hit funds, the Department of Treasury, because of the help of Senator Brown and and Senator Portman, we were able to receive, the state was able to receive $60 million for demolition issues in the community. We'll be one of only 15 counties that get that money, you know, because you have to have a land bank, something that I helped start with County Treasurer Carolyn Rice. That money will be help to deal with some of the demolition that we still have to do. And then we have passed this year a land bank in the city that has, in the county, that has $1.2 million of sustainable funding. And so that helps us keep sustained. We see every city in the state that's a mid-sized to large city has this issue. Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, us and Toledo, we all have this issue. The one that doesn't, though, is Akron, because they recognized in the 90s that they had an issue and started taking care of it, you know, one small bite at a time. And so they really, you know, when you talk to their leaders, they say, we don't have this problem. And so we need to think about that, because the housing stock that's being made today, too, isn't going to last as long as the housing stock of the 1880s to 1920s, 1940s.
Dayton has made a dying cities list. Your opponent, A.J. Wagner, still believes that we are, in fact, a dying city based on some of the housing issues and job losses, loss of business. How would you assess the city of Dayton?
Well, I think, I mean, I've heard my opponent mention us being a dying city over and over again. And I think anyone that thinks we're dying really hasn't really assess the resolve of the character of this community. This is a community that 100 years ago had a great flood that was supposed to be over and really came together and recognized with the leadership of people like Arthur Morgan and John Patterson to recognize what our opportunities were to really redefine ourselves. And after the recession, we're in the same situation here. We have great opportunity and great assets, and we just need to have a vision to move the city forward. And that's the vision I offer. I think that there's great assets in this community, and to not recognize that really misses the point of what Dayton's all about.
You and your opponent also have somewhat different views on a senior citizen property tax credit that was eliminated. Can you assess the situation over that tax credit and then tell us your stance?
Yes. You know, in 2011, in the height of the recession, Dayton, like other cities, were going through some pretty tough decisions. And I talked about us managing that and coming out on the other side of that. And we did that through shared sacrifice. You know, our city employees took pay cuts, city commissioners took pay cuts. And we had a lot of options that the city manager gave us to the citizens, you know, and some of those were increasing taxes, streetlight assessments, and other privatization of ambulance was on the list. And so we really went to the citizens and said, you know, what do you want us to do? We have a $9 million hole from local government fund that the state passed down to us, which is a large number in addition to the recession. And we really heard loud and clear from citizens that they wanted to protect their city services. They wanted to make sure that when they were in need, that they would get a police officer, they would get an ambulance, and they wanted to protect those services. And so the $50 a year cut was really what was their shared sacrifice. It was a hard decision to make. That's called governing. We make them every day. And, you know, especially through a recession and when we're on the other side with an increased bond rating, I think we've made the right decision, and I think our citizens agree with us.
All right. Mr. Wagner has said that his strength as mayor would be the ability to work across party lines. He implied that that may be one of your weaknesses. What's your take on that?
You know, I think we have, you know, for my campaign, I've had a lot of support from across party lines. You know, now I'm a progressive and I'm proud to be a progressive and I like being a progressive voice. And, you know, but I've worked with, you know, Senator Beagle, who I just left, who's one of my partners in the manufacturing task force, to Representative Butler, obviously. Coming from a really different direction in policy, but we all agree on one thing. We want to move Dayton forward, and we want to move the region forward. And so I have a track record, frankly, stronger than Mr. Wagner on that effort of working across party lines.
And in a similar vein, what do you say to Democrats who may be undecided and Republicans who are choosing between two Democrats?
Yeah, we get that a lot, especially walking door to door. You know, I just, you know, think that our message of trying to bring jobs to the community, having a vision that is thought out, and really focusing around our neighborhoods and being an open community is one that is really nonpartisan. And so we're really proud of the conversation we're having with citizens of Dayton. And Daytonians seem more optimistic and excited than I've ever seen them. You know, this is my third time running citywide. It's been just a great experience because people are really excited about the future of the city. I see that when I walk in their neighborhoods, not saying we haven't had tough times and not saying we have a lot of work to do, because, you know, there's going to be a change in the mayor's seat no matter what. But change is more than a slogan. It's about working hard and making sure that we have the positions and the vision to really make a difference.
You were successful in fundraising up to the May primary. Have you been able to keep that momentum? You drew a lot of support from West Dayton. So then how do you continue to draw support from other Dayton communities?
Well, you know, yeah, I was really pleased with the primary support. We obviously did well in both Frock, the northern part of the city, and then also in West. And then we were the site number two vote getter in East Dayton behind Mayor Leitzel. And so we've been really focused on East Dayton and talking a lot to folks there. You know, honestly, West Dayton was my base, and Frock is where I live. And so that's where a lot of our effort was put when we were starting in the primary. And so we recognize it's a citywide race. My husband and I have knocked on many doors all across the city. And, you know, it's a great town, and we've been having a great time with it.
You've gotten involved with some statewide and national issues, Stand Your Ground and Jobs Ohio. Do you think it benefits Dayton for its leaders to become involved in those wider issues?
Yes. I mean, I think that's part of the open and vibrant community piece that, you know, we need leadership that speaks for the community. And when you talk about issues like Stand Your Ground and the House bill that's coming forward, that wouldn't be helpful to our community. And community leaders came forward, a couple hundred came to a meeting to say, this is something we don't want in the city of Dayton. And when we're trying to do work like the Citizens Initiative to Reduce Gun Violence and trying to make sure that we say, you know, we want people to think before they shoot and think about, you know, the gun violence in our community, a bill like Stand Your Ground flies right in the face of what we're trying to talk to our community about.
City Commissioner Nan Whaley, candidate for Dayton mayor. A final comment, why should you be mayor? Or you can pick another issue that you think is important for the city.
No, I really appreciate this time, Jerry. You know, I think that it's just really important that I decided to run for mayor because I really think it's about Dayton's future. And putting together a plan that talks about what we can do in the future. And really, we have a lot of work to do. And so we need a mayor that has that energy, has that passion, was willing to work full time and really make a difference for the city. And that's really what I want to get the chance to do.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jerry.